Mark chapter 6 tonight, verses 45 to 52. We'll look at other passages. Feel free to turn to them. If I hear pages turning, I'll pause just a little bit. I'd like to talk to us tonight about perspective. There's a constant struggle to keep our focus these days. Everybody wants our undivided attention. Manufacturers want you to pay attention to their new products. Politicians want you to pay attention to their stated calls. And, of course, send some money. Employers want you to pay attention to your work while you're at work. You need to pay attention while you're driving. And also, if you do such things, to the conversation that you're having on the way to wherever you're going. We shouldn't do that, though, right? Is that against the law in Maine? It is. Okay. Hands-free. Churches, charities, humanitarian organizations, they want you to give attention, undivided attention, to the needs of others, and they encourage you to do that. The motive for this bid for our attention varies from one situation from another. Some people want your money. Others perhaps want your muscle. Some perhaps want your voice in their calls. Some just want you to stay out of their way, and so pay attention. You have to make some choices because you can pay attention. You can give your undivided attention to only one thing at a time. And that one thing needs to be prioritized. In our busy culture, it pays to prioritize your time so that you don't waste time or you don't waste life, and so that you don't neglect weighty matters in preference for the trivial, the temporal things. As you have decided to give your undivided attention to certain things, to a certain thing, perhaps there's a matter of perspective. When you give your attention to something, you have a perspective of that something. And that's what I want to talk about. Kind of give you a little bit of understanding, I think. Perspective is viewpoint. It can be a physical perspective. We would call it perhaps point of view. From this vantage point on the side of the precipice, I can see the strata of rock from this vantage point. I can see the strata of rock on the canyon wall. That's a physical perspective. You see things a little differently standing on the piano bench or standing over there by the double doors. It's a different perspective. So that's perspective, certainly. But we want to talk about a mental perspective. What's your perspective in your mind? Well, I look at it like this. That's your perspective. You look at it like this, your mental perspective. For believers, there are actually two possible mental perspectives. We can have a very earthy view of things, or we can have a heavenly view of things. You follow what I'm saying now? Perspective. How do you view things? Do you think of it from a spiritual vantage point? Or from a very earthy vantage point, earthly perspective, a human point of view. If you watch the news or listen to the news, it's not news anymore, is it? It's more commentary. Commentary on or some analysis of what somebody thinks with their worldly philosophy most of the time, how they think about what's going on in the world. And that's called the news in our day. Years and years ago, some of you wouldn't even remember it, but there was a time when they just gave news. They told you what happened without a perspective as such. We are, though, in the world, right? We're in the world. Jesus actually made reference to that in his intercessory prayer in John 17:11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, talking about his disciples. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one, as we are. So we are in the world. Being in the world makes it easy to develop a worldly perspective of things. You look at it from an earthy perspective, a human perspective. But the scripture warns us about that. Listen to this. This is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and ye are ye not much better than they? So God wants us to have a perspective of faith, a heavenly perspective. He wants us to view things as if He's God. He doesn't want us to forget that when we're thinking about things like what are we going to eat? That doesn't mean you don't need to go buy groceries. You know, we'll just sit down at the table and pray, and the Lord will. It's not that. He wants us to do what we ought to do. He tells us, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He doesn't want us to be permanent earth dwellers. We're citizens of heaven. He wants us to have that perspective. So we're talking about perspective, our point of view. It would be easy for us to maintain an earthy perspective. And we do. We do quite often. We look at things based upon our knowledge, based upon our experience, and it's rather earthy. But there is another option that I've mentioned, the heavenly perspective. The scriptures teach us that we're citizens of heaven, right? Now we're citizens of heaven. He calls us pilgrims, sojourners. So we're not home. We're headed home to heaven, to our eternal home. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers. Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so with just a little bit of faith, we can develop this heavenly perspective. Now, you can talk about this in different ways. Live in the presence of God. I say that occasionally. I talk about perspective with people to, you know, okay, you've got these circumstances. Let's think of what God says. Let's look at it from God's vantage point and see what He would have us to think about this particular thing. He tells us this in this heavenly perspective, to just add to what I read in Matthew 6. He says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven where thieves do not break through and steal, and moth doesn't rust or corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, he says. So we're really aware of spiritual things. All day, every day, aware of God's presence, aware of the Spirit's intervention in our thoughts, bringing things to mind, pointing the way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I wonder how many times you prayed today. How many things did you mention to the Lord while you were in the course of whatever happened today? Did you talk to the Lord at all? If you say, well, not much, really. I didn't really think about the Lord a whole lot. That's the whole idea. Brothers and sisters, in these last days, we need to live in the presence of God. We need to look at the world from His perspective. It's explained. Perilous times are upon us. They are. And what's going to happen? Well, the end's coming. Is God going to take care of His own? Oh, almost definitely. Where's this all in for us? It's the rapture. Well, what happens after that? We'll be in the presence of the Lord forever. We'll have our glorified bodies. We'll be married to Christ into spiritual union. It's going to be wonderful. We have a wonderful, bright outlook, but we could get doom and gloomy here if we don't put everything into a heavenly perspective. I want to encourage you to do it. I want you to resolve tonight that you're going to go home. You're going to talk to the Lord tonight. You're going to get up and you're going to talk to the Lord. You're going to get in the Word a little bit in the morning. You're going to get yourself focused, and you're going to stay there all day. You're going to see everything as if you were looking through eyes of faith. Let's see things through the eyes of faith. What's so important about that? Why is our perspective, our vantage point, why is it so important? Well, your perspective determines how you think about and deal with the circumstances of life. That's why it's important. It'll determine what you do. So sometimes something will get our attention through the day, every day. Something gets your attention. Oh, you have a thought and you dwell on it just a little bit. Or you see something, or someone says something, or there's a news flash, or could be anything. Oh, I don't feel so good today. So something gets your attention. You immediately determine your perspective. If you don't think about it, you'll probably take the worldly perspective. You'll just look at it, just another thing this day. So we have to think about what's happening. Are we citizens of the USA first, or are we citizens of heaven first? Of course, we should be citizens of heaven first. If I find out I have cancer, well, that's okay, isn't it? It truly is. I mean, there's a whole lot could be said about that. We certainly don't need to be afraid of the future, whatever it holds. So we have something that gets our attention. We immediately determine which perspective, citizens of heaven or citizens of the world. We entertain thoughts within the perimeters of that perspective. We think about it based upon what we know of God, or we think about it based upon our experience here on the earth. We apply that, and we live in that perimeter of whatever our perspective is. So how do you do this? I go to the doctor, or my wife goes to the doctor, we'll make it that way, and I can use me the example. She finds out she has cancer. She hasn't, praise the Lord, but if she did that, she would come home, and we could fall apart. We could get all upset. We could start thinking about what doctors are we going to? What are we going to do? What medicines do we need? And we can think about that, or we could both get down on our knees and say, Lord, you brought this into our life, and we know that you have a plan. And Lord, we want you to know that whatever you do is okay with us. Help us to be faithful to the end. You see the difference the perspective makes? You're looking at it from a God perspective through faith, believing everything that he says, or you look at it from the worldly perspective. Oh, if she dies, it's the end. No, it's not. It's the beginning. From the heavenly perspective. What's your perspective? Something gets your attention, you immediately determine your perspective, you entertain thoughts within the perimeters of that perspective, and after your thoughts come actions. You go do something based upon what you think about it. Do you see how drastically this could change our lives? If we would just grasp this one little word, the right perspective. Get the right perspective. Sadly, we have a tendency to think that when we deal with things from a heavenly perspective, it's somehow less real. Somehow less real. Talking to somebody that you can see and shake their hand or hug or somebody like that is more real to us somehow than talking to God, because he's not in the realm that our five senses pick up on. Responding to the circumstances according to our experience, according to our knowledge, somehow seems better than responding to it with just be calm, trust the Lord. Are you crazy? No, I'm not. I'm not crazy. I'm believing God. I believe everything he said. That's what we need to do. Respond to circumstances not by our experience, not based on our knowledge, our wisdom, but what God says. In reality, though earthly perspective is real, earthly perspective only sees a small part of the picture. It really does. You can't know everything about. You don't know the future. You don't really understand where it came from in the past. You don't understand what this means right now. It's just a small part of the picture. But a heavenly perspective takes into consideration the big picture. Where does this fit into God's plan? takes into consideration the big picture and the God who paints it. Okay? It makes Him part of what's happening in your life. So our Lord wants us to have a heavenly perspective all the time. If we take the heavenly perspective of everything that we give our undivided attention to, we take the heavenly perspective of that, it will affect our actions and it will affect the outcome. It'll determine which house you buy. It'll determine where you work. It will determine who you marry. It will determine who you go to, where you go to school. If you take the heavenly perspective, it will affect the outcome. And you'll be led of the Lord. The outcome is critically important as well. So our thoughts follow our actions. Our actions follow our thoughts. Our Lord wants us to have a heavenly perspective at all times. There's a good example of that in the Scriptures. The disciples, the 12. In Mark chapter 6, you've turned there. We'll look at some. The 12 they've been sent out, and the results were miraculous. They were doing things that they had never done before in Mark chapter 6 and before. They earlier that day had seen the Lord Jesus feed the 5,000. And they had taken up the 12 remaining baskets of fragments. And then verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Now listen to verse 48. And he saw them toiling. Jesus could see them out there on the lake. You can see all the way across the Sea of Galilee. And they were toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, a ghost, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. So there's a lot of information right there. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to talk about this here for a little while. I may cite another passage, but we're coming back to Mark chapter 6. The disciples had reason to trust in Jesus, don't you think? Even though he wasn't right there with them, they had lived with the Lord and seen enough. They were special to him and they knew it. They were his chosen ones and he had taken care of them, and they had reason to believe. He had proven himself to them time and time again. They had stepped into the boat after gathering up these 12 baskets of fragments of the 5 loaves and 2 small fish. So they seemed to have had a heavenly perspective earlier that very day. They saw the Lord in action. They saw miracles taking place before their eyes. And in their minds, their minds must have raced just to put things together. Their problem was that their perspective was changed, at least momentarily, because of the boisterous waves and these earthly commotions, these circumstances that were going on around them. And so the waves stole away their undivided attention. They were probably, before the storm blew up, talking about what they'd just seen. But they forgot, and their attention now is on the storm. Their perspective became entirely earthy, entirely. And their thoughts raced, and they became afraid. Now, lest you think I'm being critical, I don't know how I would respond, probably just like they did, okay? And it would be easy for us to point our finger and say, why don't you believe? Well, why don't we believe? You know, there's that question as well. So if they could have maintained their earthly perspective, we wouldn't be reading this story like it is. The lessons would be different if they had the right perspective. I want to consider four lessons. Okay, so here's my outline tonight. Very simple. Four lessons on perspective from Mark chapter 6. They're not necessarily connected, so look at them as four different lessons. I like continuity of thought, but you may say, well, there's kind of a little break in thought here. But my first lesson, lesson A, maintaining the proper perspective is easier when you walk with the Lord. You say, duh. Yeah, sure it is. It's easier if you walk with the Lord or live in the awareness of His presence. They had their eyes on the storm. Verse 48 of the text here, they were toiling. Verse 49, they thought they saw a ghost. And so they had their eyes on the storm and the circumstances. They had the earthy perspective. But then when they realized it was the Lord, it sort of changed a little bit. Matthew chapter 14 tells the same story. And in Matthew, it says that Peter got out of the boat when he knew it was the Lord. He got out and he walked on the water. And then he got his eyes off the Lord. What happened? He started to sink. Same, a great lesson to add to this, another portion of the story. Here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 51, the wind ceased. When they got their eyes on the Lord and when they focused on the Lord, everything changed. Immediately, John 6:21, immediately they were at the land. Immediately. That's not the right reference, is it? 21. I don't think it is. Anyway, it's there. I've got that in my notes. Sometimes we might have to force ourselves. We might have to force ourselves. Okay, wake up, Danny. You need to be thinking about the Lord. You need to stop looking at this way. You have to stop and talk to yourself and say, okay, I'm going about this all wrong. I need to look at this. I need to look at this through eyes of faith. I need a different perspective. And so we need to accomplish that. It could be in money. When things are tight, we feel like we have to have a certain amount to be able to live at ease. And actually, God has promised He'll meet all our needs. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added, He said. Safety. We buy guns. We learn how to do that running broad kick. I can't get my leg up that high anymore. And we are going to protect ourselves. But actually, God protects us. You believe that? It's up to God. Whether you have your gun or not doesn't make too much difference, because God can keep you from harm if that's what He wants. I can tell you what your perspective is in terms of safety if you could answer one question. The question would be, which would you choose if you had to give up, guns or God's protection? Now, all of us are going to say the spiritual answer, right? Oh, I'd give up my guns. But really? Would you be as confident that God can take care of you without your intervention as He is with your guns? Or would you feel safer? Would you say, Lord, I got this. And you got your holster on both sides and a knife in your shoe and a billy club hanging on the back and all of those things. It may be purpose. We search high and low for a reason to live. We try jobs, relationships, hobbies, all sorts of things. Actually, God is our purpose to live, right? We are here. We are created to bring glory and honor to Him. And so He is our purpose. A heavenly perspective. It's the only way to go for us Christians. But I dare say none of us are there altogether. Living in the presence of God, keeping our focus upon the Lord, thinking about every circumstance that comes into our life from a heavenly perspective, through eyes of faith. Lesson two, or B, a dual perspective. That means earthy and heavenly. A dual perspective is sadder than the wrong perspective. It is. The very common concept of a secular life and a spiritual life sort of comes to mind. That's double-minded. You are a spiritual being Whether you're in the shower or the bed or at work or driving your car, you are a spiritual being. You're a child of God. And you need to see yourself as a Christian, as a part of the body of Christ, a part of His church. A dual perspective, whether earthly or heavenly, is sadder than the wrong perspective. It's a sadder thing. The synoptics, what are they? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three Gospels, the synoptic Gospels, reveal that the disciples were stranded, straddling the fence here when they were on the Sea of Galilee. Matthew describes them, you're at Mark 6, but Matthew says, Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." That's how Matthew ends the story. They're worshipping the Lord who calmed the sea. They're worshipping Him there in the boat. But look back at verse 51 of our text here. Mark kind of puts a different description here. "And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now that's different, isn't it? In other words, they couldn't for the moment comprehend, like they had before, they couldn't comprehend that Jesus is God. He can take care of this. This was before Peter's great confession of who Christ is. That's in chapter 8. Their attention and their perspective was physical, was human, an earthy perspective. They were looking at Jesus like the magic man still, doing these wonderful things, but they hadn't really grasped who He is yet. So it seems like a contradiction, an apparent contradiction between the two accounts, Matthew and John. But there are no contradictions in scriptures. Both could be true. Matthew may be telling what happened on the outside while Mark is explaining how they felt on the inside. That's a possibility. Maybe Mark's account happened first. They were troubled, but eventually they calmed down and then they worshiped the Lord. So both could easily be true. To know the Lord and to experience His faithfulness, and then to lose your focus when trouble arises is the saddest of all conditions. It's sort of like starving to death in a grocery store. You know, there the Lord is, and He can do anything. And here I am afraid that I've seen a ghost, and I have no idea what's going to happen. Are we going to all drown tonight? It's a sad thing to go back and forth. But I dare say that's where we live sometimes. Our perspective changes constantly. Sometimes we're in a spiritual mood. Depends on who you're talking to. You get a phone call, it sort of makes you think about the Lord again. And you do for a while until something else happens. And then you flip-flop over to the other side and you have the earthy perspective. We're all guilty, aren't we? We're all guilty of this. So, another biblical example of this dual perspective might be the rich young ruler who came to the Lord. I'll read about that here in Matthew chapter 19. This is rather lengthy. It's verse 16. If you'd like to turn, you're welcome to. "And behold, one came and said unto Him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" What's his perspective, spiritual or earthy? Well, we know the story, but it sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? Sounds pretty good. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from the youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And all of a sudden, flip, he goes the other way. Now he's not talking about eternal life anymore. The young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was covetous. One of the six commandments that are the first or the second tablet of the commandments, one of the six was, thou shalt not covet. That's the only one that Christ didn't quote there to him, didn't remind him of. But it's the one he was guilty of, and the Lord knew what he was doing in leaving it out. So the man was standing beside God. That's been a blessing. That thought, that's been a blessing to me. He was standing beside God. One of these days, I'm going to stand beside God. He was standing beside God, and because of his perspective, he chose money instead. Only a wrong perspective could do that. Isn't it sad when we were sort of spiritual and not spiritual? We change our perspective. We stop looking through faith. We stop worrying about what God thinks, and we do it on our own. We go our way. Letter C, number 3 of the lessons from Mark chapter 6. The Lord is constantly monitoring. He's constantly testing, and he's constantly nurturing our spiritual awareness. God wants us to keep the right perspective. He wants us to live in his presence. He wants us to be ever mindful of him. So the Lord is constantly monitoring, testing, and nurturing our spiritual awareness and our perception. Look at our text again, Mark chapter 6. Verse 47, testing came to them rather unexpectedly. They didn't have any idea when they got in that boat this was going to happen. Verse 48, the Lord was very much involved. He was standing on the shore watching them. They were rowing and they were toiling, and he knew exactly how they felt. He's God. So he's in control. The Lord's in control here. These circumstances were necessarily personal in nature. They went to the heart of every individual who was there in that boat. The testing must always be severe, at least in the estimation of the person being tested. If it's going to do any good, it can't just be the routine. It has to be something more severe. Verse 48, the Lord confronted his disciples with a choice. Verse 48, they could focus on the storm or they could focus on him. They had a choice here. And he was going as if to pass by them, it says. Why? Why would he act like he's just going to walk on by? Because when they recognized who it was, he wanted them to respond to that truth. Brothers and sisters, in our circumstances, God wants us to respond to that truth. He's ever near. He will never leave you or forsake you, and he will provide everything you need. That's his promise. Verse 50, he says, it is I. He will never tempt us above what we're able. They were about to blow a fuse. They saw a ghost. Ah, it's a ghost! Can you see those grown men out there in this boat screaming across the waters? That they're seeing a ghost. I mean, it would be comical probably especially as much as we know now, right? We got the whole story. So testing takes place in a time and place that we're least likely to be thinking of. And his goal in testing is to bring us to a place where we have to make a choice. Every testing is to make us make a choice. And the very first choice you'll make is, how am I going to look at this? What are the perimeters for my thinking of this? If you hear the C word at the doctor, you need to remember this message. Put it in perspective. It changes everything. God's perspective. Mary Jean and I have been canning some. She's been canning, and I've been picking up the heavy canner. And it's interesting to watch the pressure cooker work. You like pressure cookers? There's a little valve on there, on that pressure cooker, that you can she can release, and all of the steam comes out of the pressure cooker, and the refrigerator starts to cry from all of the humidity in the room. There's that relief valve. The Lord knows where we need relief. He's not going to make it harder than you can take. There has not one circumstance come to place in your life that you could not choose for the Lord and say, I'm going to look at this, God. I'm going to look at this from God's perspective. Whatever it might be, there's never been a time when you couldn't do that. Number four, letter D, my last lesson from Mark chapter 6. Our perspective tomorrow depends upon who has our attention today. Our perspective tomorrow depends on who has our attention today. In the text, verse 52, why did they not focus on the Lord as the Lord? Because they considered not the miracles of the loaves. They have real reason to believe that the Lord can handle this. But they hadn't considered it. They hadn't considered what they had seen. Someone living beside an airport never hears the airplanes. Did you know that? My boss down in North Carolina years ago lived at the end of a runway. Had a big, beautiful house right at the end of a. It was kind of over the knoll a little bit, but it was there, less than a mile from the end of the runway. And planes flew very low, right over the house. And I went to visit them one time, and his son was talking to me, and we were having this conversation, and a plane came over, and he just stopped talking. The plane went over, and he started talking. Get right where he left off, he started talking again. And I said, wow, that'd be hard to get used to. He said, what? He did not know. Did a plane just go over? He didn't even realize that he stopped talking to let the plane go over. He was that accustomed to it. He was that accustomed to having this happen. It's easy to allow what used to excite us to just become ordinary. Do you remember when you came to Christ? Do you remember the joy that you had as you tried to really wrap your mind around what you just received? Do you remember worshiping the Lord when those goose pimples formed on your back and tears in your eyes, and you just felt so close to the Lord you could just whisper and you knew it's like right into His ear? Did you ever have that experience? You know, we can do that day after day. And we'll get so accustomed for it, the next thing we realize, it's gone. It's not precious anymore. Because we became so familiar with our Lord. And we stopped giving Him our undivided attention. And we stopped looking at things from His perspective. We sort of left Him out. All of a sudden, and it's gone. And we didn't even realize it was slipping away. And we can have it back. We can have it back. Just draw near to the Lord. He'll draw near to you. He wants us. He wants us there. Verse 52, they could not give attention to the Lord because their heart was hardened. Hardened means to lose the power of understanding, to have the senses deadened. That's what it means, the definition. It's because of the familiarity and maybe the lack of faith. They didn't expect Jesus to act like the Son of God right here. They didn't expect it. They didn't expect Him to show up. They should have. When we reject Christ today and allow His presence to go unnoticed, we're more likely to be out of focus tomorrow. Tomorrow's not going to be a good day. That's why Saturdays are so important. You know, at least we could be focused when we come to church, but you walk in the door and everybody's talking about everything, you know. We do. I'm not excluded. We need to keep our focus. We need to keep our perspective on things and keep God a part of all of our conversation. There's a battle, just in review, there's a battle for our attention. And we should prioritize what we give our attention to. Our perspective of that which has our attention may be earthy or it could be heavenly. Maintaining the proper perspective is easier when we walk with the Lord, when we live in this awareness of His presence. A dual perspective is sadder than the wrong perspective. The Lord is constantly monitoring, testing, and nurturing our spiritual awareness. Our perspective tomorrow depends upon who has our attention today. Something comes to mind. Something gets your attention and you immediately decide, immediately, without thinking about it, you decide how you're going to view this. How am I going to look at this? And your thoughts will take form, and that form is determined by your perspective, how you're going to look at it, through the eyes of faith or through the eyes of flesh. And after your thoughts come actions and the end of the situation. And how much will our perspective, how much will it affect what's going to happen? Grossly, right? Or wonderfully, it'll affect what's going to happen. Here's how I see it. Maybe we ought to say, well, here's what God says about it. Totally different. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Word of God, Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege of preaching it. I pray that You would bless these thoughts tonight. And Lord, I pray for myself that I'll have the right perspective of things tonight and tomorrow and the days to come. And I pray the same for my brothers and sisters here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.